5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Who's the best show here?
Tech Show!
Who's the best show here?
Tech Show!
Alright, that's pretty good. That's the best one.
I am sure.
Pizza, pizza.
Bingo! Showtime!
Just swinging in the breeze.
I go to pull the tubing off of the hot end and it wouldn't come off.
Quarter pound of meat in his mouth.
I want sweet on meat.
Are you making it from young in the kitchen? Sushi.
It's a Limousine Tech Show, and that's a fact. If you don't like the cast, you can stick it up your ass. Ain't no fuddy-duddies down on Lincoln Path. For the strollers, go direct to DLNTX.org. And the IC challenge at LinuxLink.net. Bound Tech Show. Just sit right there, cause the castle's just about to begin.
Well, welcome to episode 1,143 of the Linkling Tech Show. On the show tonight, we have Joel.
Good evening!
We have Joe.
Yep, I'm here.
And then I have a question. Oh, sometimes I get an echo back.
Yeah, it's coming from me.
Oh, it is?
I can see it.
All right.
So I'm using my mute.
Okay. All right. Anyway. Oh, yes. So I don't know what... I think I brought this up before, but I've been fighting for like the past 4 months with being kicked off the VPN because the Microsoft Defender definitions get out of date, and then it.
So you're telling us you're using a Windows machine for your work?
No, it's an Apple machine.
Ah.
It's OS 10, and it just got so you. In order to connect to our VPN, you have to meet certain requirements, and one of those is, I guess, Microsoft Defender with the latest updates. So, about 4 months ago, I went to connect, and it told me my definitions were out of date, and it wouldn't let me update the definitions. So I was stuck in a problem because when I go on the VPN, then it blocks access, and it's kind of a funky access block where it's just like the web browser doesn't work anymore. But I'll have to double check tomorrow again. But I can like ping places, but I just can't browse most stuff on the web, and I have a sneaking suspicion that the Microsoft Defender like wants to be connected to our intranet via the VPN to update itself. And I have this feeling that for some reason, you know, I didn't have a reason to connect to the VPN for extended periods of time. So there was a couple of months there where I wasn't connected. I don't think at all. And when I went, it told me the definitions were out of date and it blocked my access. So then they had to come in and like, I don't know what they do in the background. It doesn't seem to I don't know. And I don't know if they even know what like the fix ends up being for this, but eventually they're like hard shut down your computer, which is like hold the power button in for 15 seconds and then let it sit for like 30 seconds and then power it up. And sometimes that works. So like the first time this happened, I don't know, we had to do a bunch of reboots. They remoted in, they did some stuff, and then eventually it was working fine. And then a month later, it was the same thing. And they had to go in and it was working fine. And then last month, which I'm going to say June 25th happened again, and it took about a day of mucking around with it, but we got it working, and I was like, okay, this is probably going to happen again at the end of June, at July, right? So it seems to be like towards the end of the month. But then, like, I connected, after about being connected for 2 hours on the 25th, it brought up that message again. And I was like, well, it didn't even last a day this time. And I contacted them and like, we're going to have to escalate it up the chain. But then the next day, it seemed to be working fine. And then, two days ago, I connected to VPN, because that's the only way we can access Vault, right? So we moved all our secrets out of Vault to Google Secret Store, and which was one of the reasons why I've been having to connect to the VPN the past couple of months, because I did majority of that work. And so sometimes I need to still go back in there for other things. And I noticed that it threw up that message that my access was blocked because my definitions were out of date. And of course, when I look at Microsoft Defender, and I'm assuming that that is the reason, right? It tells me that its definitions are out of date. And if I click the update button, it sits there spinning and spinning and spinning and spinning. And it takes about 10 minutes before it comes back. And it's like a weird message. It's like, it doesn't say that it failed to update. It just says my definitions are out of date. And the last time it updated was that instant. So it's not like, I don't know what's going on with it, right? And they can't figure it out either, right? It's because, so yesterday, spent most of the day with them sitting there futzing around with it. Eventually, it started working again, right? And I was on the VPN for about 2 hours, and then this morning it happened again. It was block access, and I keep telling them. And so I'm speculating here, like, would it be helpful if I removed Microsoft Defender and reinstalled it? Because I wonder if something is horked up there.
Which VPN are you using?
It is Global Protect.
I'm sorry.
But I don't think it's a VPN. It's how they have their restrictions set up, that if it won't allow it to connect to our internal network if the machine doesn't meet certain requirements, and that's specifically like the definitions being up to date. And try as I may, I can't get these damn things to be up to date. And I've not heard anybody else say that they've had problems like this or had to jump through hoops to keep their things up to date. It will not update for me. Even when it does connect to the intranet and I don't have that problem, I still can't like get it to update.
Interesting. Reliably.
Yeah. And yeah. You know,
I'm surprised they use something like Microsoft Defender for Mac OS. I know what we do. I think we use Velociraptor. Let me look. I think that's the name of it.
Cisco.
Yeah, we use Cisco. Yeah, Rapid7's Velociraptor.
See, I think the reason why they're using Defender is because they're kind of like somewhat all in.
Well, hold on a second, though. Velociraptor is not anti-malware or virusware. It's digital forensics and incident response. So I know Velociraptor is on my MacBook only because I've seen it in the top list, in the process list. They used to use IBM Big Fix for some things. I don't know what they use anymore. I know a lot of what we use, I think maybe it's Cloudflare. I can't remember. I mean, a lot of the stuff that you would normally use on macOS, we don't use because we just basically treat our laptops like they're pieces of the cloud, you know. So we'll have a lot of things on there that you wouldn't normally see, and there's usually no interface to them. So, like, I can't see, like, I can't go into Defender or a virus scanner and run a scan. It's just not possible. It just happens in the background.
Yeah. That's the only... On ours, basically nothing gets saved to the local machine. Right. You can run applications, but you can't really save documents or anything to the machine. It all gets saved to OneDrive.
We use Box. Yeah, we use Box for a lot of our stuff.
And then, like me, I just have an HVD because I found it to be significantly faster than to try to do anything locally. And if I lose my connection or something, then the things I set up to run are still running when I connect back to my HVD.
Yep. Yep. Yeah, and we have we use RDP for certain things for especially for our managed cloud customers. I know SAS uses if we ever get connections to the SAS environments to look at things like top lists and process lists and stuff like that on the app servers, We're probably going to be going through a bastion, so, you know, it's fairly secure the whole way. And I know that other than, like, for example, when the next Mac OS is, what, 27, I think, right? Other than that, like, you know, I won't be able to load the latest Mac OS on day one once it releases, right? But once they deem it necessary, you know, it once they bless it, then I will get the update, and then every, like, for example, I'm current with the stable Mac OS at this point, you know. All right, so there's only that slight delay, like, when the new versions come out, at least on the laptop. Phone, I have an iPhone, and the phone gets automatically updated, so they don't hold that one back. I think they probably do that because mobile platforms, like your phone's probably a lot more susceptible because you're using it more. But I've never had a problem with it. And we use any, like I said, we use AnyConnect for both connecting to our cloud-specific VPN as well as the corporate one. My biggest frustration, though, is we have internal environments where we can mock things up, right? And then do troubleshooting and stuff like that. The only problem is I cannot get to those internal environments from the cloud VPN. So, you know, it's kind of a pain in the butt. But
yeah, I think what annoys me even more about it is I have to go into ServiceNow to log a ticket for this.
Yeah.
And
you have to be on a VPN to get to it?
No, I don't have to be on a VPN to get to it, but every time I go into ServiceNow, I've run into the same problem over and over again. It's like, I don't see a way to open a ticket. Right. Like, they have customized it to the point where you're not supposed to, like, open a ticket almost directly. They want you to go searching for your problem through the knowledge base or whatever
yeah,
it is.
Yeah,
and then the
like
only
a
way,
form.
Yeah, the only way I can find that they open a ticket is then they have this link on there that says how to open a ticket. So I got to go to how to open a ticket, which embedded somewhere in how to open a ticket is a way to open a ticket, which is ridiculous. Like, just give me a damn button on the front of the page that I could click to open the ticket. All right.
Right.
You know, and I was saying to my boss today about yesterday about this. I'm like, you know, they're so hepped up on AI. I would just be fine with even just a little text box in the application where it says, hey, what do you want us to open a ticket about? And I can write it in there and let AI open that ticket, baby. Go ahead. Give me something easy.
Well, here's something that's really frustrating. Well, first off, we kind of bastardize what problem tickets are in ServiceNow. So problem tickets in my book should be for recurrent things. You know, like say you get the same incident five times, right?
Right.
Well, then that should go into a problem ticket, right? I mean, does it make sense, right? So that you can resolve the problem so the incidents stop occurring. Well, no. Every freaking incident, they will trigger a problem ticket, right? Now, the AI has started adding problem tasks automatically to the problem ticket. Then they're not assigned to anybody, but 9 times out of 10, they should all be assigned to you. And you don't really need a freaking problem task because you're the problem manager. You're like, I'm a lead, so I'm one of the two that are blessed with, well, saddled with, I should say, having to manage the problems. So it took me 10 minutes to go through all the damn problem tasks, to put something in there, to close them, and then I put the rest of the notes into the main problem and close that. So they've added 10 to 15 minutes or more per problem task when I'm working the problem task to clean it up after an incident. And a lot of times, too, I'm not the one that actually responded to the incident in the first place. So I'm having to do all the footwork to go through and read the fucking incident, to do all the lead things I'm supposed to do, right? You know? Uh-huh. So anyway, you know, but it's like this AI is supposed to save us time, but all it's done is add time to my bullshit that I already have to do. And it's like, it really pisses me off. And then 9 times out of 10, like if I'm closing an incident now or something, it goes through the notes and summarizes it and puts an AI summary in there. There's no way I want to put what the AI summary has in that. I already knew what I was going to put it in there. I'm a smart person and know what the fuck I'm doing. Anyway, which is more I can say for some other pros. I had my first one-on-one with my manager in Bangalore today, so I guess it went okay. But
well, that's anyway, good.
At least I got a raise, so I'll say that much. So, but then we had this call twice a week for a month, going through all the people they got rid of and reassigning all their tickets, right? And we get them all reassigned. So today we didn't really have anything to talk about in this call, but then the one guy on my manager technically is my team and another team that reports to him. All right. And fortunately, I'm good friends with most of the other team, too. But so the one guy said it out here. He's like, well, the metrics that we're supposed to get aren't going to change, right? And he's like, yeah. And we're like, and the one guy said flat out, he says, you do realize that you're not sending us up. We're not going to be able to meet those because we got a total of 6 people in the systems and tools team. Take care of on-prem, my area can do SAT. Well, my area can do all of it, be it on-prem, managed cloud, or SaaS. And we only have these 6 people to manage, at least on the U.S. shift, and there's folks in Bangalore. They have Mexico staff that's probably less prepared than my team are, because my boss, previous boss, she did what she could to train as many of us as we can. And of course, I did find out at least the one we interviewed there. I had a peer review like the week of when she was, my old manager was let go. So we had a peer review Monday. She was let go the next day. All right. And so I flat out asked him, I says, well, is this person going to be hired? Oh, yeah, well, they're going to hire him, but they're not going to start till September. I'm like, okay, fine, whatever. I mean, they're not going to be effective until the end of the year anyway. So, but that's my life. But my more fun things, though, is I did complete my first 10K trail race with no problems. Dan seen the picture. I'll post. Joe's probably seen it since I posted it on Facebook. But and I only finished 10 miles slower than I did on my first 10K road race. So 10 minutes slower. So, and I had a lot of fun. Running on a trail, like a rustic trail, like I did, was much, much harder than it was on a road race. So, but like I said, other than that, had a blast and got great pictures at the finish line, which is not always the case. So, and would I do it again? Probably.
So, I hope you will do it again.
And then Joe, on the leg press Sunday, I broke 700 pounds. Cool. 707.
That's awesome.
Yeah. I don't know if I'm going to do that amount of weight every week. Because it is pretty brutal, and I probably could get better range of motion than I am getting, but that's okay. And I signed up for The local running shop, Columbus Running Company, has free half marathon training, so I did sign up for that. I've been doing my first. I've kind of got into the training, that training late. The actual plan is, when did it start? Let me find the summer training plan for the half marathon. It's actually was supposed to start June 7th, and I didn't really start until like July 12th. But mileage wise, I was doing, like, for example, last week, counting the trail race, I got all the miles in that they said I should get in for the week. Okay. This week, I should get all the miles in. Although this is the first time I did, Monday, I did a 2 mile run plus 4 strides. The strides are essentially going full out for 20 to 30 seconds and then slowing down, full out for 20 to 30 seconds, so on and so forth. Some folks will do like those in like 400 meter intervals or something like that. But I did most of that on treadmill. Like tomorrow, I'll probably do my 2 mile run on the treadmill. And then I'm supposed to do 4 miles. It says group training. So I got to find out when the group run is, and see if I can't make it to it. Cause I also would like to go rucking, but, it's a good plan. I've got it out in Google Drive. And it gradually takes you up. Like, for example, next week, let's see, that would be what, the 19th through the 25th. It has 3 miles and 4 strides on Monday, 3 mile run on Thursday, and 7 on Saturday. Which would be the longest I ran if I do that. So with a total mileage total for 13 that week. The week after might be difficult because there's no way I can do the 8 mile run on the Saturday that it's on the schedule because that's the day of the Mammoth March. So I'll probably skip that 8 mile run because I'll be doing 20 miles of hiking on the trail. So, and I'll have to do probably the same thing. Although, wait a minute. Okay. The week of Cuyahoga, I should be able to do, well, let's see. It's a 10-mile run that week on Saturday, and the event's on a Sunday. Actually, no, wait. It's 12-mile that week. I don't know if I'll be able to do that or not. We'll figure it out. But and then after that point, it should start working in the taper with the race being on the 18th of October. So, I don't know if I'll be able to do all the runs that they'll have in there, but I should be ready to go. Mileage wise, I should be fine. I just want to run as much of the half marathon as I can. And then I think of after I get that, I'll make the decision if I'm going to do the full marathon the year after, which would beat my goal. My goal is to run a full marathon before I'm 60. So that would be, if I do it in 27, then I should do that at 56. So, but we'll see how I like it. You know, I'm still kind of feeling out shoes and stuff. I got some time, on that, fortunately, but, and unfortunately, Monday, I found out, some bad news. Well, kind of bad news, kind of bad news. The lady that is the main coach, there's two coaches of our church boot camp group, but she is also the children's ministry director, and she's just been getting swamped with stuff and can't spend as much time planning workouts and stuff as she'd like. So her and the other coach got together, and they decided that tomorrow's the last boot camp workout group. So,
oh, you should step up and take it over, Joel.
Well, I'm not ready to do that yet. However, what I am thinking of doing is I'm thinking of starting a ruck group a church, still in the planning phases, and I gotta go through Thrive. I want to go through the Thrive Thrive Group leader training first, because basically it's going to be kind of a combo of Bible study plus rucking. Still kind of in the planning stages, and I want to make that open to anyone at any age at the church. So whether they're youth, adults, or seniors, I don't care. You know, that's what I'm gonna do. Part of the thing I'm going to do with that. What the hell, Joe? Joe, mute yourself.
Wow.
Thank you. Part of my idea with the Ruck Group is I want to not only lead it, but I want to help build leaders as well that can basically so that we can swap it out. You know, I want to build something so that we can keep it going as long as I possibly can. So that when I'm ready to step down, somebody else can lead it, or if I'm at a race, somebody else can lead it, things like that. So I'm kind of going to look for somebody else to help with leading that as well, because I want to make it, as consistent a thing as they can, because that's the key to doing the things that I've done is being consistent. You know, consistently hitting your step goal or your fitness goals for the week, you know, going and doing the workout when you don't feel like doing it. All those things are extremely important when you're trying to take care of yourself. So I think that's what I'm going to do. So it'll make it a little bit more accessible. But I'm also thinking about looking into, I can get NASM certification through First Form and get certified as a personal trainer as well as for nutrition. So I'm thinking about doing both of those. There's about 500 a piece. So I'm thinking about doing that. I got to figure out how I'm going to pay for it, but we'll see. And then after that point, maybe I'll start the boot camp group back up, you know, cause I think.
What are the qualifications to be a trainer where you're at?
That is a very good question.
Some states have some legal requirements, some don't. And then a lot of people get around it by calling themselves a life coach instead.
Yeah, let me see. I want to see what's the NASM personal. Is anything I do personal trainer wise would be free, you know, because I'm not, you know, I don't care that much, you know, about getting a job doing it, you know. See, personal trainer independent. So let's see. The NASM, there's like classes you can do for $99 a month. But I don't know if I want to take the classes or just study for the exam, if you know what I mean. I don't know. I'll consider that. I mean, that's a future thing, you know. That's not something I am hugely going to focus on. Because, let's see. I got to get CPR certification and AED training, too, to do that. So we'll see. Yeah, we'll see. I could probably... lead it after a certain time, you know, just, you know, I got to figure it out, and I'd love to get it back going, but I wouldn't do that, at least without some consulting, you know, talking with Kara, who's the one who has been leading it, you know, and just to see what she would think. So, because that's the thing, I'm not worried about my. It's one of those things where I'm not worried about myself with not having this community to work out with. I'm more worried about people that were trying to get into it, that have been coming, either regularly or intermittently. You know, I'm more worried about them than I am about me, because I know I'll take care of myself. You know, because there ain't no way I'm gonna go back to where I was. No friggin' way do I ever want to do that. You know, because it's just not, you know, I enjoy my life a lot more now that I'm healthier. I mean, that's the whole thing. And I can't imagine going back to what I was ever, ever, ever. So, but, and I know one thing, Bodie's keeping me, walking, because he can go, man. Whew. Today I went on two walks because it's a rest day, and I took Bodie both times, and both he and I did about 5 miles throughout the day, three this morning and two this evening. And my cat, my dog, finally, they spent a good amount of time today in the same room for once. Duke's still not sure what he thinks. But he and Bodie sat in my wife's office for a good chunk of the day, and I'm so proud of them too. Because Bodie's a lot, man, being a golden.
Well, I have had an interesting couple of days in regards to technology.
Uh-oh.
So I had decided to build a second mini rack because I wanted to use up some of the 2.5-inch drives that I have. So I was working with my living room PC that's running Proxmox and acting as a set-top box. Tested out a couple of the M.2 SATA adapters that I have on there, but it turns out that there's just not enough lanes set up on that thing for it to read more than one drive off of them. So I had to move on from that and ended up using a M.2 AE adapter, which had two SATA ports on it, instead of one of the other M.2s that had like 5 or 6, depending on which adapter it was. And then with that setup, I could no longer fit a full-size 2.5-inch SSD in there because it would sit on top of those two connectors. I actually had to specially order some more right-angle connectors so that they would fit in there and have the lid close. So what I ended up doing is taking the casing off of one of the SSDs to make it considerably smaller. And I looked, and the casing wasn't actually set up to provide like any thermal escape. My headset keeps disconnecting. Hold on. Yeah. But I also, because of that extra space there, I was also able to put like an M.2 drive in there. So I got 120 gig M.2 drive on the inside, and then a 500 gig SSD, and then the two SATA connections, which run to the outside, and then two hard drives hooked up via USB. So, what, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 hard drives total, 2 1-terabytes, 3 500 gigs, and 120 gig. So I don't have it all allocated to everything just yet, but it is now all put together with my Netgear gigabit switch, and while I was finishing that, my other mini rack died, like just stopped working. I was in the middle of listening to an audiobook and the audiobook cut out, so I went back and found out that the PCI connector there for the SATA drives was no longer being read, and I restarted it several times, and a couple of times I was able to get it seen, but not able to do anything with it, even trying out multiple of the different PCI SATA connectors that I had. So I was able to finally get it up and running on a 5 SATA port connector instead of the 6 that I was using before, so I had to pull one of the hard drives. And I found out another one of my hard drives was being seen, but I could not access it. Like, I could not even do a FSCK on it, or FSCK.extension4, or the, what is it, the E2 FSCK or FSK or whatever it is. Nothing would work on it, and it says it's missing the super block and simply will not let me fix the issue. So what I'm doing now is I traced the physical hard drive that took forever and got it pulled out, and then I'm moving everything off of one of my 8-terabyte drives that's in my garage PC, which we'll get to in just a second. And I'm going to do the hard drive shuffle and see if I can get it working using either disks or parted. And if not, then I'll have to re-get everything. And yeah, I have backups of the important stuff, or I can re-pull everything else that was on there.
So is it the device or the drives?
I don't. It's got to be. Something is up with the drive right now. I have not done a restart yet, which is my next step on the mini rack. And I would have done that while I was sitting next to it, but there's an issue with my garage PC that's going on, which is what I was getting to next. So on my garage PC, I'm doing this transfer, and there was only like 1.6 terabytes of stuff on there. It should not have taken real long for me to transfer everything off of the one drive and onto the other drive, but it got hung up. And I'm finishing it up now. It says 4 minutes. I'm expecting at least 30 for it to actually be done. But I've also had this issue where it's randomly like locking up and giving me nothing to work with anywhere, just complete freeze. And I can't do anything but restart it. And then I'm also having this issue where pages will crash in Chrome, and it's throwing errors where basically it's saying that it was having a graphics problem. But Cinnamon is not, you know, going down to safe mode like it usually does when you have a bad graphics card. So I was thinking maybe the graphics card. But then I'm also getting random drops on the 2.5G PCIe card that I have in there. So my network keeps dropping on it and coming back. And it seems a little odd that both of those would go bad at the same time. And it's possible that it's a RAM issue. And I can test that because I have just sticks and sticks of DDR4 all day long. But I'm thinking that with a plethora of issues, because I was having problems with the any DDR4 sticks that I was sticking in there in specific combinations, where I would get, you know, the random beeps of your RAM is bad.
Right.
But then if I reconfigured, you know, it would tell me a different RAM stick was bad. Or if I just ran a single RAM stick, it would do just fine. So I'm thinking it's actually the motherboard that is busy taking a crap. And thankfully, recently, a friend was getting rid of some old parts, and he just so happened to be getting rid of the exact same motherboard that I have. So, as soon as this is done transferring all of these files, I'm going to pull the whole thing down and do the hard drive swap and do a motherboard swap. So I'm going to get to rebuild an entire computer. Which will be fun. And hopefully that solves my issue. And if not, then I have some extremely ancient graphics cards that I can try and test out to see if it's a graphics card issue. I don't have a separate 2.5G connector or PCIe connector, but I can switch back to the 1 gig for now and see if that fixes the issues. But I really, really don't want to on that one. Plus, I still have more of the 2.5-inch drive, so I could take one of the PCIe SATA adapters that I have and put it in there at the same time because I have one slot left. But if I can't figure it out, I've already discussed it with my wife. If it's, I will buy myself a birthday present if nothing else. And get myself a processor and a motherboard. I will be getting an older one that runs DDR4 because I'm not paying DDR5 prices. I'm not made of gold. But I will build my computer again. I've already been looking, and it looks like Micro Center sells the, what is it, the Ryzen 7... 7800 3XD or 6800 3XD? I don't remember. And then I would just probably need to get a 550M. I need another micro ATX. And I just need to make sure it has, you know, at least three slots. Preferably three slots that I can use. But with that one has built-in graphics. So at least I have a backup that I can use for testing. So, yeah, fun few days.
It's a lot of work. How long is it going to take you to swap out that motherboard?
I don't know how long it takes to swap out a motherboard. I haven't done it in a while, but I don't expect it to take more than an hour. I got thermal paste. I got everything. Yep. I got electric screwdrivers galore.
I still need to get a battery for this laptop. I actually had to replace the power cord to it because Bodhi decided it needed teeth marks in the power cord. So there's that. Luckily, that was only like $18. Oh my God.
Yeah. And I guess it's entirely possible that it could either be the CPU, or it could be the power supply.
Yeah.
But I have extra power supplies, and if it's the CPU, then I'm going to Micro Center. Mm-hmm. And I'm getting, you know, a little bit of an upgrade. But it, because that is AM4, I think I could probably reuse this the 450M that I have instead of upgrading to the 550. I would just have to make sure that the BIOS was updated properly.
Yeah, I just looked up when the group runs are. They're at 8 a.m. and I'm not going to go the group one this week because I want to go rucking. I'll still go run though later. Get my 4 miles in. What in the world?
That's Joe's laptop taking off.
I know, man. Oh, that was not your water. Oh, yeah.
No. It is most definitely my laptop. I'm using my mini laptop, but the headset that I'm using is full-size USB. And the USB port on this thing
is huffed.
It is loose. Oh, good. So if I move wrong, it wiggles the connector, and my headset drops, and it goes down to my internal microphone on the laptop, which causes all the noise.
Glorious,
ain't it though?
See, do they still have, let's see.
I should just remove the drivers for that.
You think?
Then it just won't work.
Oh.
But then how would you connect? I mean, I guess you connect to it remotely.
Remove the drivers for the internal microphone.
Oh, the microphone. I thought you were talking about the video card for a second. I'm sorry.
No. Just for the built-in microphone, because it's garbage.
Yeah.
Have you ever tried doing that?
I have not, but I've done similar. It would just be finding the correct name for the driver and then blacklisting it.
That's not a bad idea. I should do that for some of these. Then I'm going to be like, why doesn't my why doesn't my sound card work? And I'll be like, because I blacklisted it 2 years ago.
Shoot. I'm trying to think if I want to go to the coffee festival this year.
Yes, you want to go to the coffee festival this year.
I can grab an early bird ticket, but it's $37.
That doesn't sound terrible.
No, it's cheaper to go to the session one, though, which is early birds 9 a.m. to 2 p.m. I don't want to go that long, though. I don't want to go from 9 a.m. to 2 p.m. to swilling coffee.
Then don't go.
I'll go.
That kind of sounds like heaven, honestly.
I'll go to the 11 to 2 slot, because that'll be fine. It's a little cheaper, too, I think. Let's see. I'll give it a day and think about it. My favorite company is not on the list so far, though. That makes me sad. Yeah, I think because the other thing I'm thinking about doing is maybe not joining our Orange Theory, but maybe doing a class pack there to see, one, to see how I like it, and two, to see how intense it is. It's like a CrossFit kind of deal. I don't know. I got to look something to keep me. Because the thing that I don't like about boot camp group not doing weekly workouts is I don't want to lose what I've gained. You know, I worked hard to be able to do things like burpees and stuff like that. And as much pain burpees are, they keep me able to do them if I keep doing them, if you know what I mean. So we'll see.
Just practice on your own.
I can do that on my own, that's for sure, yeah. I even got to the point where I was doing, like, we were doing push-ups, I could go all the way down. I was going all the way down till my chest hits the floor, and then lifting my hands up, and then going back up. So, yeah, we'll see. We'll see.
Yeah.
I will say this, that trail run I did, you know, a lot of times you do get t-shirt, right, at races, right? And they'll have just tons of you know, like, this race sponsored by blah, 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 and blah, 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 and blah, 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 right? There was only one sponsor, and it was Otterly Bass, and that's the only logo that's on the whole thing other than the race logo. It's a beautiful shirt. It's also made out of that performance material, too, you know, the nylon-y kind of stuff. So it'd be good for regular runs and all that. Eventually, I want to do. There's a service called Repat, and it's where you can take like all of your like all those shirts that you hardly wear anymore from all those races. You can send them in a box, and then they'll basically put them into like a quilt for you.
Is that what you're gonna do?
Some point, yeah. Because I got the original one that I earned at or that I got at where'd I get it at? Baroque. That's way too big, and I'll never wear it anymore. Because when I signed up for Baroque the first time, it was I signed up and put triple X for the size, and by the time Baroque got there, I was wearing extra large. So,
just give them to your son.
He wouldn't wear them. He would not wear them. It's what? How much is it? Let's see. For a lap one, it's 48 inches by 48 inches, and it is $75.
$45 for the t-shirt?
No, $75.
Well, $75 for the
yeah.
T-shirt. Well, is that how much it costs to come in to register for the race?
No. That can vary. That's going to depend on the race. It goes over $100 to sign up for the half marathon. No, this is what I'm talking about. So they'll take like your t-shirts and they'll sew them into a quilt.
Okay,
You can go all the way up to king size if you want to. How much is a king size? $250. I don't think so. Lap one will do. The lap one, it looks like they have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11. 12, 13, 14, 15, wait, hold on, 16 shirts. Either 16 shirts or you would have 8 shirts. It would depend on if you want to use front and back or just the front. At least the ones you won't wear anymore, you know. I don't know. I got a bunch that I may not wear anymore that I might put in something like that.
Holy crap! King size is 64 t-shirt sides.
I know, right?
So that's like if you had a double sided t-shirt, that's like 32 t-shirts where they use the front and back. But 64, that's a lot of races, man.
Yeah, sure is. Oh, and another thing I'm disappointed about with the trail race is. There was no medal.
What'd they give
you? Nothing. Banana and a granola bar at the end if I wanted one, and I skipped it because I wanted to go get huevos rancheros at the local diner. Oh, that was so good too.
You and those huevos rancheros.
Oh man, with chorizo. Oh, yummy.
For your tummy.
That's right, man.
Oy, 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 oy. So I had a run in with my favorite AI bot.
Uh-oh.
Gemini, which we have hooked into GitHub and... Or is it Copilot?
I don't. GitHub would be Copilot.
I'm trying to think whether we have Copilot or we actually do have Gemini into GitHub.
It would be Copilot. It would be Copilot because GitHub is a Microsoft product.
Yeah, it is. But I'm trying to think if we have, and why do I think we have Gemini hooked in there?
I don't know.
That's a good question. I don't know. Well, it's one of the two. So, I had talked about how I created that workflow, which reports outdated libraries in our Node.js application and package JSON files, so that we could be better on top of that, as well as enabling Dependabot, which will run on a monthly basis. And what ended up happening, and this annoys me to no end, right? So I get through like all these repositories, and like half of, so I got, we have two different application types. We have Next.js applications, which are like user front end type of applications, and then we have Cloud Function applications, which are just on demand applications that run in kind of like in the background kind of tasks that they do. Anyway, I was in the middle, like two or three, I had finished all Next.js. I was two or three repos into our Cloud Functions when I noticed that it said, hey, here's a critical error. You can't specify the day when you're setting Dependabot configuration to run monthly. Like, so I had the configuration where it said run it monthly on this day, which was like run it on Monday of every month, right? So apparently you can't specify the day, which was not clear in the documentation, but then I didn't see that you could do it for the month in the documentation, but it didn't say you couldn't. So this configuration file is going back a couple of years. So I'm like, okay, I'll believe you. And so I have to go back and change the one that I've been doing in the functions. I still got to go back and do the Next.js applications with that change because I want it to be right. And then like three repos later, it comes up with another issue with the configuration. And it's like these two fields, reviewers and assigners, are no longer supported. They need to be moved into a file called code owners. So assignees and reviewers needs to be moved. It's no longer valid. So I'm like, ah, okay. And I should have done more research, but I didn't. So I went and I did that, and I was two or three more repos in. So then I have to make that change from the ones I already did. And then it comes back with another complaint. It's like, hey, this function is not, this like configuration is not valid. It doesn't work. What was it? It was a label or something that I was going to say, like, wait, or something. So I was like, wait a minute, that doesn't make any sense. So we go back and look at the documentation. And sure enough, it's there in the documentation. It is a field that you can use. And I'm like, why is this a problem? Like, why are you specifically telling me in version 2 of the Dependabot configuration, it's not a valid configuration when I'm looking at the documentation for version 2 and it's clearly there, right? And then I keep looking, I'm like, well, wait a minute, these other fields that I removed are in the documentation too. So once again, it's like two out of three things that the AI bot has told me have not been correct. And it's caused me extra work because, you know, I should have learned my lesson so many times already that even though if one time it's correct, I should still do the research for everything else, even though it seems like we were going down this same path. And why should I doubt that you're lying to me? So there we are. That was very annoying. Hooray.
Yay.
It's always lying to you.
Yeah, it is. Too much. I don't like. Now it's costing way too much, apparently.
Yep.
Well, not for Joel. He's
token maxing.
Is that how you do your work? You token max at work, Joel?
No. No, I don't know. Right now, I'm like over it, over AI, and you know, because everyone's like, AI is gonna fix everything. I'm like, when I took, like, I wanted to find out, like, I saw something somebody was wearing online, right? And I wanted to figure out, well, who made that thing? Who made that shirt, right? Well, you know, you think you normally would do a Google image search, right? Of course, now it goes through Gemini. And it literally guessed wrong more than it guessed right. Because it would tell me that, oh, well, that was made by this company. And it was so sure of itself. It was like, oh, that was made by this company. I'm like, no, that's not right. You know, because I said, I would say, show me the logo for this company. And would show me the logo. I'm like, no, the logo is literally on what the person's wearing. And I'm like, so it took me, I would say, arguing with the AI about 20, 30 minutes until it finally figured out the right one. It's like,
could you just look at the images? Like when you do a search instead of looking at the AI?
That's what I tried to do. It only let me do it through Gemini. That's it.
That's a pain in the ass.
Yeah. But then other things were okay. I had a conversation with Gemini as I was going through things. And it came up with some good stuff. You know, I had to go back and look at it. Like I was saying, you know, well, I was asking questions like, you know, how can I stay on my half marathon training plan, but still do the Mammoth March? You know, obviously I wanted to have to make modifications because there's no way I'm going to do an 8-mile run the same day, but you know, so, that's that. And you know, so I have to look at that and figure out, what that is. I will say one thing. When you go do the group runs, though, with this half marathon training plan, is you scan, like, I think you scan, I don't know if it's an app on your phone. I have to figure that part out yet. But I don't know if it's an app on your phone or something, but you get points towards buying stuff at Columbus Running. Like, for example, my next pair of shoes I buy at Columbus Running, currently, I'll get $20 off. So
it's a rewards kind of program.
Yeah, it's a rewards program, yeah.
Is it an actual app or is it just a card?
I think it's an app. I have to look. An app or at the very least like a QR code or something, but let's see. I wanted to see how much they want. For the Ultra Torrent 9s are out now. 160. That's not bad.
How many runs will those last you?
Those should last a little longer because they're the first running shoes that anybody has brought out. Road running shoes that has Vibram rubber.
Uh-huh.
So, 5-6 months? Probably. The only thing is for road racing, I have been using like a 4% drop or something like that, and the Tour 9s are 0 drop. So I don't know. I know my trail shoes are 0 drop, and they were pretty much okay. Although I did get I felt like a hot spot coming in during the trail race. So I went and bought something on Amazon. There is a product called, let me go look at my order because they should get here tomorrow. Engo blister prevention patches. So basically, these are patches that you would stick inside your shoe on the insole, where your hotspot would be, and it reduces the friction there.
Well, there you go.
So,
have you used them before?
No. This will be the first time I tried.
Is it like moleskin?
No, it's different.
It's foreskin.
No, it's not. It's definitely not moleskin. Here, I'll put the link in there. So basically, it just reduces the friction inside. The other thing that I think, and I'm probably trying to get ordered before I go to Baroque, is, and it's on my list. Instead of Leuco tape, I could do this instead. Where are my lists? Wish list. Woo-roo. It's blister prevention. Merino wool fleece. So basically, you would apply this to your directly to the feet instead of taping it with like a Leuco tape or something like that. And you can put like, you can even put it between toes and stuff if you're wearing regular socks. So you just basically put this in your sock as you're putting your sock on. So, and it's supposed to help prevent blisters. So woo-roo. I might go ahead and order that now because it's only like $12.
And you put that inside your sock or inside your shoe?
Inside the sock, probably. Although, I'm fine with Leuco tape. Right? When you put Leuco tape on, it screws around with their skin. It doesn't really do that with me. It stayed on my toes the whole time. I taped them up on my two problem toes. They did get through. It did have one blister, but it wasn't on a toe. It was on the ball of my foot. So I only use the Engo patch and a piece of tape on the ball of my foot, Baroque, instead, to try that instead. So just to see if I can get through it without, because it keeps my feet in good shape, especially with me trying to do this half marathon. It's going to be essential, you know. Being even more careful with my toenails as I do these things. So, and I actually heard about these products from Jessica Hawkins. Her previous name was Jessica Mills. She's known as Dixie on the Trail. She started a off trail with Dixie. I hesitate to want to call it a podcast because it's not really a podcast because it's just a stream on YouTube. But she had this lady on there for Blaze Physio, which that's a mobile what do they call her? Mobile something. So basically what she's doing, mobile physical therapy, all right, and it's targeting through hikers. So she had her on her show, and she's a through hiker herself. So, but that's where she shared about those things. She said that when you tape your toes and stuff, you can compromise the skin. I don't think for Mammoth March that would happen for me. But I get it where she's saying it for if you're wearing tape all the time and doing a hike on the PCT, you know. But anyway, that was an interesting podcast to listen to. Podcast, if you want to call it a podcast, on YouTube. There we go. There's that. But just looking for ways to stay as injury-free as I possibly can when doing these hiking and other things, too. Cross-training is important for that. So on my cross training session this week, I did cross training. I'm just doing mostly walking, although I did some elliptical this week too. I'm not a fan of the elliptical because I don't like to move the arms at the same time. But
quicker workouts.
This is true. It does burn more. So does rucking. So does rucking, though.
I'm going to miss a bunch of workouts this week.
Why is that?
Well,
injury?
Hold on. Saturday, I normally go in and do chest day, but instead I decided to do lawn work, and I guess you can still call that a workout because I moved about 1,600 pounds of manure.
Eef.
Yeah. Sunday, I did go in and do chest. Monday, I went in and did arms and shoulders. Tuesday, yesterday, I decided to hang out with the wife.
That's not bad.
Yeah, and then today, I'm talking to you guys instead of going to the gym.
Oh.
So I blame you.
You can always go after her if you go into Planet Fitness.
And then Thursday, we're going to a dinner. Yeah, I could go after the crunch as well, but I also have to get up at 5 a.m., Thursday we're going to a dinner. Friday I have another podcast. Saturday I should be able to get in the morning, but in the afternoon we're doing some stuff for the Democratic Party, and we're also having my birthday dinner afterwards.
Where are you going for your birthday dinner? Outback Steakhouse like Joel does?
There's a Korean place that we're going to.
That sounds good.
Wait, is it Hot Pot?
Hey, Jackie, is this place Hot Pot? The Korean place that we're going to on Saturday, is that Hot Pot?
Or no, barbecue?
It's just dishes. It's just barbecue.
Nice.
Is that you make it at your
at no, table? No, we've gone to one of those, and now we're going to a different one.
Oh, still, Korean food's delicious.
Yeah,
what are you
love
looking
Korean
for,
food?
Joe?
I like bulgogi.
Yeah, I can't. Yes,
sir.
Can't complain about that.
So, I'm trying to suggest.
Yeah, but they changed their menu at the all-you-can-eat place and made it more difficult, which is why we haven't been going back.
I'm trying to suggest this place. For our victory dinner at after the hike, I want to go to in Lancaster. There's a place called Mediterranean that's right on Memorial Drive, and it's Mediterranean 33. It's wait a minute, is that right? Oh yeah. The Mediterranean in Lancaster, Ohio. This is Greek, Italian, or American food. Which sounds just lovely to me.
It sounds delicious to me, too. You're going to have to try to tell us how it is.
Give me some lamb or some Greek salad. I love feta. Feta cheese is delicious. Oh, it's delicious. Oh, I'm going to get some chocolate protein soon, Joe, to try making some protein ice cream.
My wife today, Jackie, she got me this banana cream protein coffee. It's like an instant coffee mix. And now I am planning on drinking it as an instant coffee as well.
Interesting.
But I'm thinking that it would do really well as an ice cream.
Yeah? Yeah, so, blend it with some actual bananas too?
Yes, yeah, I could do that. But most likely it would just be some sweetener or some skim milk. Maybe, well, definitely some xanthan gum.
No, I tried this week in my creamy, since I don't have any peanut butter protein, I bought a canister of PB Fit at Sam's Club. and put a couple tablespoons of that in the mix.
So yeah, I have peanut powder and peanut butter powder, and I have I've got the Nutter Butter protein powder, and I've got regular peanut butter protein powder. Did I mention I like peanut butter?
Yeah. Oh, and I found the Nestle's milk chocolate peanut butter chips mix. So it's both. Yes.
Those are good.
Milk
Those
chocolate good. Chips with peanut butter chips mixed together. Yep. And that worked really well.
Or just the peanut butter chips work really well, too.
Yes. I'll have to find some of those, too. But
I like those.
But.
And then a lot of times I'll just grab, because it's better cheap than the and you get it in bulk, I get the greater value, the great value, semi-sweet.
Yeah. I want to do, I need to get more, well, I kind of wait until the end of the month to order more clear protein, because I'm kind of out of clear protein, but I have a cookies and cream isolate, as well as ice cream cookie, or no, wait, is it ice cream cookie? No, CTC, or Cinnamon Toast Crunch isolate. So that's my post-workout protein. It's 10 more calories than the clear, but I have it, and I don't have to spend any money for it because I got it for nothing. So,
I'll wait
till the end of the month and get the clear ordered.
What I like to do is I have some no-fat cottage cheese.
Okay.
Which is a little bit, you know, runny, but...
I think I am going to order some more Element, though.
You take that and two servings of that, and then a serving of the... I have some brownie protein powder. Chocolate brownie protein powder. And then you take two servings of strawberries, or strawberries and bananas, whatever tickles your fancy, and mix that all together. And it's freaking delicious. I'm making myself hungry just thinking about it. But it's also like, 60 grams of protein all at once. So yeah. Prepare for gas.
Be gassed out. That's like, was it
today?
That's
you on your way to work.
What did I do today for a snack? I think I ate. Let me see. What did I eat? Oh, protein bar and a bag of chili lime Quest chips. 40 grams of protein.
Well, when me and Jackie were out yesterday... we found, there's this brand of chip makers called Legendary.
Yes, sir. They're great.
And I picked up a 4-pack of, popped protein chips, the, pizza flavor.
They're good.
I've had them before. They are quite tasty.
They are very good. I agree. Yeah. I agree.
She also found these vegan protein bars from Barbells.
Oh, Barbells. Okay.
Yeah, and picked me up the caramel peanut and some brownie. But the caramel, okay. I've had the caramel peanut, and it is freaking incredible. Love it.
I like, it's and not then, a vegan one, but I think they have a banana one that I like real well.
We also picked up this dipped Simply Protein bar, birthday cake flavor, and I will never buy that again. I don't care how on sale it gets. It's freaking disgusting. You might as well eat soap.
That's like I can't eat Quest protein bars because they're nasty.
Love Quest protein bars. They got this peanut butter and jelly one that would... Oh, dude, so good.
I got to qualify that. It's some Quest bars, because there are some that I will eat. Most of them are pretty gross, though.
And we also picked up these large bags of Korean ramen seasoning powder. So that way I can put it on my french fries. Freaking awesome.
I need to order some more, or pick up some more caramel salt. Not caramel, salted caramel popcorn, kernel seasonings.
Yeah, I knew what you're talking about.
Yeah.
I have some right here, caramel hot chocolate.
Now, what I tried with the kernel seasonings this week is I still have some of the buffalo one. So I sprinkled salted caramel and buffalo on the popcorn at the same time. That worked. That was freaking delicious.
Sounds disgusting.
Yeah, it was. I thought it was great myself. But
you're allowed to. I'm just allowed to think it sounds disgusting.
That's fine. Oh, heck with it. I'll order a whole another box, a whole 30-pack of lemonade iced tea.
Element.
There we go. Done. An early morning delivery means I could have it before I go do my run in the morning. Okay. Yes.
I've had a lot of Amazon deliveries, you know, say they were going to be next day over the last, like, few days that when I was putting together the mini rack, that each and every one of them were a day late.
Now, I did look up Orange Theory, I can do 4 classes a month for $69. I might look into that. Because I don't necessarily need to do, like, the full membership option that gives you unlimited classes is $139 freaking dollars a month.
Hmm.
I ain't going there that often.
I hear you.
Because they're mostly classes, is what Orange Theory does. Now, what they do have, and this is cool, and I did not know this, but they do High Rocks training there, and I'm like, okay, let's go. Let's freaking go, because I kind of would like to do a High Rocks. I'll share a link to show you what High Rocks is. In case you're wondering. Yeah, it's pretty brutal. Basically, 8K of running plus some physical workout stations. But the upside is it's always in, when you do a race, it's always inside. So there's that. And you can do it. You can do it with a team.
I've seen the High Rock stuff before.
Yeah. You can do it with a team. So you can have, like, so if you're not great at, like, say, wall balls, you can do half the wall balls. Your teammate can do the other half. Or you can have the teammate do all the wall balls while you rest. And the only thing you have to do when you do it as a team is you both have to run the 8K at the same time. So I think each lap is, I don't know what is each lap. 2K, I want to say. Let's see. Let's see the fitness race. So the exercises are ski erg, sled push, sled pull, burpee broad jumps, rowing, farmer's carry, sandbag lunges, and wall balls. Yeah, it's 1K run. Okay, it's 1K run between each exercise with a total of 8K of running. The only thing is with the High Rocks is they are very expensive races. So.
And grueling.
Yep. I'll have to look into that. Maybe I might wait until next year and see if I can't use my Thrive benefit to do a few months of Orange Theory. Yeah, maybe that's what I'll do. Just because I think kind of thinking ahead here because we're getting towards the end of Misty's severance package, so We'll see. I mean, I got a good raise. I got like 4%, which helps. But
well, we wrap the show up.
Yes, it's 10 o'clock.
Here we go. I'm going to play us out. Happy birthday, Joe.
Thank
Happy
you.
Happy birthday, Pat.
Happy birthday, Pat.
Yeah, it's Pat's birthday today. Pat Davila. We miss you, buddy.
Yep. And you have a great birthday on Saturday. Stay safe. And I hope you get your hardware all adjusted. Fixed.
Thank you.
All right, here you go. Take us out of here.
I am sure.
Oh, my God.
It's Hacker Public Radio.
Hacker Public Radio is a daily podcast by the hacker community for the hacker community. If you're interested in technology, creative thinking, hacking, Linux, or any kind of computer, that kind of stuff, you should listen to Hacker Public Radio at hackerpublicradio.com.
So we can paint anything we want?
Anything at all.
How about if I paint your fine ass? Yeah, with my tongue brush.
Shut up. Just shut up.
Daddy has a gun!
It's over.
You were making it for young in the kitchen. I was in the dining room having sushi.
Yeah.
I gotta check and see if that file transfer is done. Nope, not yet. Almost done, but it's been almost done for a while.
Think there's a hard drive issue?
No, I think there's a motherboard issue.
No.
No way all those different things go wrong all at once. Actually, a motherboard issue is best case scenario because I have a drop-in replacement for the motherboard.
Yeah, I need to go take Township Hall has e-waste. I need to take some stuff over to e-waste and get rid of it. Got some old laptops.
Oh yeah,
how old?
Ten to 15 years old, and they were low end when I got them.
Get rid of them.
So, yeah.
And last,
because they were my wife's laptops.
Unless so, you want to make portable monitors.
Yeah, I don't want to go through that effort.
Yes.
There you go.
Just don't call you late for dinner, right?
Just that's don't right. call me fast. That's all I'm saying.
You know what? You're probably faster than me.
Maybe.
With all my hip damage, I'm slow as hell.
I know that last hill at the trail race Saturday. Oh, it hurt.
I'm getting set up right now because I have a computer to take apart and put back together.
Oh, bummer.
It's been an interesting couple of days.
Yeah.
Well, let's start the show then. So
let's do it. Let's do it.
Peter. You see something.
Where are my balls?
Wait a minute. Yeah, weird. Feels like I started the recording a while ago, but I didn't. Alright.
Yeah, let's do it.
Got it all set up here. 1,143. Here we go. Wait. Joel.
Yes, sir.
What do you got going on? Okay. I was just double checking something. I'm not echoing back. Okay.
Everybody no, you're not.
Am I?
I do not hear you echoing back right now.
Nope.
So everything's good. Here we go.